My title of my message this morning is Alignment for God's Assignment. Mark Twain said it very clearly. He said, the two greatest days of your life, number one, the day you are born, and number two, the day you discover what you were born for. That's a powerful day. The day you come into the kingdom of heaven through accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's part of God's plan. Now, many people have an assignment. Every person that is born of God, is brought into this world, has an assignment. But there has to be an alignment. You've had the opportunity maybe to take your car in because its wheel alignment was out. When you see a car's wheel alignment is out, the car makes a noise, makes a bump. It's uncomfortable to ride on the journey. The tires wear out quicker on the one side. Alignment is so important. It's important that as Christians in 2026, the year of invasion, that we understand God's alignment for our lives. We have to align ourselves before we're going to see God's assignment for our purpose come to pass. I want to talk to you about that this morning. As we are invading the city, as we are trusting God to see people changed, as we continue to speak life and pray over this beautiful province of ours, despite the mines closing, despite there being an economic downturn, we keep on speaking God's word that God will bless our land, amen, that we will be fruitful, that the Lord will bring wealth and investment and prosperity to the people of this province. Say amen. So we stand in the gap as the solution. We don't speak the problems. We don't speak the negative. We speak life. We speak the promise. We speak God's word over every situation. One mind may close, but we ask God to open up two other new minds. Amen. We're not insensitive to what is going around. We're not tone deaf, but we speak the solution. Like we sang this morning, we speak Jesus in our city. We speak Jesus over everything, over our nation. Now, I want you to listen this morning with an open heart. I want you to hear what God is speaking to us. That there has to come an alignment before there can be an assignment released on your over your life. A lot of people are busy thinking they're busy with God's plan, but they've never aligned themselves with God's will, with God's plan, and with His assignment. So I want to share this morning. I want to teach and preach it very simple in the short moments that I have with you this morning. And once we find our assignment and we fulfill an assignment, you have to understand God has another assignment. A lot of people are just gloating and celebrating the great assignment they did in 1995 or 1994 or 1998 or 2002 or 2010 or 2016. I want to tell you, God has another assignment for you. That's why you can never retire. Amen. You retire when you go to heaven. If there's oxygen still in your lungs, it means God still has an assignment for you. God's plan for your life is not over. When you think it's time to retire, you say it's time to refire. You may have scaled one mountain, God has another mountain to scale. You may have had some success. Amen. Our province has won the Curry Cup, praise the Lord, for our rugby players. But I want to tell you, there's another trophy that we should scale and we should win. We don't just sit back and relax now. No, we are people of faith. We are people of God. Amen. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter. God has more for you. Amen. You have slain the lion, you've slain the bear. Hey, now this uncircumcised Philistine that's staring at you, that spirit of poverty is coming down as well. Amen. Now you've got to help me preach this morning. God makes dead things come alive. Hallelujah. Alignment for God's assignment. I want you to know you're born for an assignment. Yes, you. Mevrou, meneer, ntati, sir, ma'am, whoever you are today, I want you to know God has an assignment for you. But our hearts have to be aligned with God's plan. There has to come an alignment. One wheel is pulling that way, one wheel is pulling that way. We're never going to get there. So a few scriptures this morning. Proverbs 16 verse 9, the Bible says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Why does God direct his steps? Because God has an assignment for you. So you can plan and you can, and we should have strategies. We should use our intellect, our brain that God has given us for our career, for our life, for our marriage. We plan, but it's God who must direct our steps. So we come to God and we say, Father, the Bible says, commit your ways unto the Lord and He will direct your path. He will secure your plans. Romans 8:28, a well-known scripture, and we know that all things work together for the good. Amen. You may have had a setback. You may have had an injury. You may have had a bankruptcy, a catastrophe, a calamity. But the Bible says God will turn it around. God might not be the author of that catastrophe. Let me just say that. Not everything that happens in your life is a result of God. You study the book of Job, you understand that it was Satan who came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You got to get your doctrine right. Stop blaming God. There's life out there. There's an enemy who wants nothing for you. He has nothing, and he doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't have character. He plays dirty. He doesn't want you to live. He wants to influence. He wants to infiltrate our cities, our families, our communities, keep people poor and ignorant and sick. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I want to tell you this morning, like the Bible says in John 10:10, that Jesus Christ came to give you life and to give it to you that you may have it more abundantly, okay? So we might not be prosperity preachers, but we do believe in God's goodness, amen. We believe that Jesus has come, that I may have life and that I may have it more abundantly, amen. Your life is valuable to God. So we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. But then it says, the latter part says, and to those who are called according to His purpose. Please put the scripture up, Romans 8:28. Ask your neighbor, are you called according to His purpose? His assignment. Well, if you're called according to His assignment, then no matter what happens, you may have just missed the turn off, but the GPS is already rerouting, saying, okay, it's recalculating. Take the next turn off. It's okay. You may have missed your mark. You've made a mistake. You may have had a setback. You may have fallen short. It's okay. God is recalculating. All things are busy working to the good for those who are called according to His purpose, His assignment. So we have to align our hearts for His assignment. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do or for good works. I want you to know there's a good work that God has for you. There's an assignment, a good work. You're not just born by accident. God used your parents as a way, as a means to get you into this earth. And they gave you life. And for the rest of your life, while they are on this earth, you are called to honor them. You're called to bless them and take care of them. Even if they were bad, even if they were absent, even if they were evil towards you, you be honorable back to them. The Bible says if you honor your law, if you honor your parents, you will live long in the land God is giving you. It's the first commandment with promise. So let us be a church of God's word, a church of obedience, and let's honor those in the Lord, and let's honor our parents for giving us the gift of life. Say amen. But now it says you've been recreated in Christ for good works, which the Bible says, which God prepared. He prepared, He predestined beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to show you out of scripture this morning how God prepared works for you and me beforehand to walk them. 2027, none of us have been there. God has already prepared a work for you and for me to walk in 2027. Amen. That's why I say we should be pregnant with vision, with faith, and with God's plan for our lives. Amen. And though I get in an accident, though I face a calamity, Though I have a setback, I just get back up. I get aligned again. Ain't nothing gonna stop me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up in judgment, God says we shall condemn. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? I ain't gonna die. The Bible says with long life, He will satisfy me. I've still got to get to 2027. It does not matter what happens. I'm gonna get to 2027. He prepared it. God said it. That settles it. It ain't over till God says it's over. You want to be on God's side. Some of you got to come over to God's side. Stop playing games with the world and the devil. Come over to God's side. Because where we're standing is last time I seen, it's rock. It's a solid rock. He who builds his life on the word. He who hears the word and does the word. Jesus said, I will liken unto him as a man who builds his life upon the rock. When the storms come, you will outlive the storms. We need some people. We know you go through some storms, but we need some Christians to be some survivors. You go through life differently when you understand you're called with an assignment. You can get through the week a bit differently. You're not waiting and reacting for stuff. You've made up your mind. You know God has a great destiny and a purpose for your life. And when you align yourself, and I'll share in a moment, with God's assignment, you become unstoppable. Bump your neighbor, say, I become unstoppable. Who can stop God's plan? Ha, ha, ha. No one can stop God's plan. If God meant you to be the captain of the rugby team, you will be the captain of the rugby team. If God meant you to be a successful businessman, you will be a successful businessman. If God has called you into politics, you will be in politics. If God has called you to be an engineer, an architect, a physiotherapist, a teacher, a husband, a father, a mother. If God has called you to study a degree and everything says no and all the doors are closed, but you know God's part of your assignment, you need to be equipped, you need to be empowered, then watch what God will do. He will shift things. He will move people. He will split open a Red Sea for people to walk through. Yeah. But it's okay. Don't look at me, he's like a man. This is real stuff. This happens to us. We have so many testimonies. Isaiah 30 verse 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. You can't get away from God's plan. If you're willing to submit your life to God, as a married couple, as a young student, as a pensioner, Father, we commit my life. I give you my life. I support you, Lord. I submit to you. I align my heart. Not my will, your will be done. You align your heart. Then there comes an assignment. Let me tell you, when God puts His stamp on you, when God gives you an assignment, Moses, you may be a stutterer. You may be insecure. But the greatest nation in the world will come down to its knees and will let the people go. God's purposes shall have preference over anything this world can say or do. God will have the final say over your life. Please listen to your pastor this morning. Let God be God and let Him have the final say. Some of you are discouraged because things aren't going according to your plan. You must make sure that that plan is God's plan for your life. And if it is God's plan, then don't worry. He's busy working it. He will move people. He will shift people. Amen. So it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind saying, hey, soft voice, go this way. Do this. Hand your CV in here. Pass the ball that way. Do business not with that person. Get out of that deal. Do it this way. Buy now, sell later. The Holy Spirit leads us to profit. He doesn't lead you into a ditch. God will show you where the fish is. God will show you where the tax money is. Like He did to the disciples. He'll tell you now, launch out again into the deep. Let down your net for a record-breaking catch to see souls and to see where the people are that you're going to bring into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will show you when to speak to someone at the right time and what you need to say, because God knows how to save the unrighteous. Come on, bump your neighbor, say, I'm born for an assignment. So there's a beautiful example in the book of Acts 13. Saul, who became Paul, and Barnabas. I mean, if you read chapter 11 already, they were busy with assignments. They'd aligned their hearts, doing great things. Come back. And they went again. Come back, and they just always busy. I want you to see it this morning. Now you know, I say, Pastor, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm a farmer. I'm a miner. I'm a student. Listen, this relates to every person. In every generation, the scriptures apply to all of us. Whether you're called to be an architect, this applies to every person. It said, while they were worshiping the Lord, always a good place to align yourself, get into God's presence, be a worshiper of God. Otherwise, if we don't worship God, we end up worshiping ourselves or the things around us. Be a worshiper. Be a praiser of God. The Bible says, while they were busy worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. They had aligned themselves. They were in the presence of God. But now the assignment for their lives was about to be released. And I want to show you what was the assignment. I remember as a young accountant sitting in the meeting with Pastor Art and all the leaders just before I got called into the ministry. I had aligned myself. I love God. I love the church. I was a builder. I was a partner with the church, a soul winner, a home cell leader. I played guitar. I was an usher. I was serving in the house of God. And then one day when Pastor Art and the team was here, and Pastor Henny, my pastor, he couldn't continue because of the four operation backs that he had. We thank God that he's keeping him strong and healthy. Amen. There was a time he couldn't continue, and the elders had met, and the team and all the CRC senior pastors said, and Pastor Art, I said something, I don't know what I said, I can't remember it. Pastor Art just pointed and he said, the Holy Spirit is setting you apart, Brian, for the ministry. And that day I had to make a decision to be set apart and to come into the ministry as a pastor. You know, a lot of people call themselves into the ministry. I saw the people who called themselves. It never lasted. Be careful the church you follow. Be careful if the pastor breaks away from the church and says God told him. You've got to be very careful for those people. They haven't aligned themselves with godly authority and leadership. You have to be sent. I say that because you see it. It's a disease in the church today. Everybody gets a microphone, calls themselves and says, I am now a pastor. God has told me. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. You see people that were faithful, filled with the Holy Ghost, serving the leaders of the church for faithfully for years and years, and then the Holy Spirit will then show the leader and say, set that couple apart, set that person apart, and send them out. That's how it works scripturally, okay? Say amen. Don't be deceived by the looks and the talent and the gift of somebody who breaks away from a church. It's not a healthy thing. It's not scriptural. God can't bless it. We've seen it often. It's a dangerous place. So yeah, the Lord says it as well to Paul and Silas, to Saul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit says, set them apart. That day, I'll never forget it, 2014, July, the Holy Spirit spoke to our pastor, Pastor Art, and a lot of the leaders in the church, separate Brian Kutsia for the ministry. And then I felt, yes, amen. I will be separated. I will be the pastor. What an honor to continue the great work. Pastor Henny said it. And now you're stuck with me. Well, I'm stuck with you as well. Ex Spielman. Set apart. Now listen, God sets people apart for business. God sets people apart for politics. God sets people apart for a calling in your career. As you are faithful, as you build God's house, God will anoint you for music. God will anoint you in every aspect God has called you. He's wired you. Some of you, you're going to be an anointed influencer, an anointed creative, maybe a graphics designer. I don't know. But you have a calling. And you're going to walk it out. And you can do it your ways or your parents' way. Or you can do it God's way. And here it is. They're worshiping and the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The two greatest days of your life, the day you're born, and number two, the day you discover why you are born. Because let me tell you, when God backs you, nobody can stand against you. God told Joshua, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. You have an assignment, Christian. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them. Come on, you've got to lead people out of their culture, their tradition, and get them baptized in water. Get them out of their racism. There's white racism, there's black racism, there's financial racism, there's so much racism and prejudice, and God anointed you to break. We have the spirit of reconciliation. Praise God. Amen. Bump your neighbor, say alignment for assignment. Acts 13 verse 6, yes, their journey now. This was part of the assignment. And look for your purpose. Your purpose is not a once-off event. You know what your purpose is? It's part of the journey. It's part of the process. God's will and purpose for your life is the journey that God has for you. Saul and Barnabas, let's have a look. What was part of the assignment? He says, set them apart for the work. And then we read about the work. Look at this interesting work that God had for Saul and Barnabas. Saul, who would become Paul. Look at this work. And they traveled through the whole island. See, God has an adventure for you. Come on, ladies. Tell your husbands, you got to take me on an island trip. Yes, some of you have got to go beyond Warrington. I love Warrington. I love Kimberley. But some of you have got to go beyond this province. Okay, there's a whole world out there. I'm not saying you must give up your base, leave and pluck yourself up. But there's places God wants to send you. There's an adventure beyond Kimberley. He's going to take you places. Bump your neighbor, say, especially the ladies, want to go on an island trip here. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer. This is the assignment. Listen now. Listen. Listen to the assignment. A Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul. That was a highly ranking official, like a governor. His name was Sergius Paulus. The proconsul was an intelligent man. This was a man of stature, high-ranking governmental official. This intelligent man sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that was his name, means opposed them and tried to influence and turn the proconsul from the faith. I want you to see this morning. We should never attack politicians. We should pray for politicians. There are forces behind politicians that want to blind politicians and keep them from the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So one of the first assignments Saul and Barnabas had was to go and influence the political leaders so that the region could have a revelation that there could be people of influence in politics. Amen. And we're so blessed to have some politicians here this morning. Then Saul, who was called Paul, watch this now. So they want to, he calls for them. He wants to hear about this gospel. And the devil, the enemy through a sorcerer, wants to stop them. Now it's not only politicians. It's men and women of influence in our city. It's your parents. It's your friends. It's your colleagues. Watch this now. Saul, who was Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, looked straight at Elymas and said, "Hey, you are a child of the devil." Okay, I don't suggest you do that straight away with anybody. This must be the Holy Ghost speaking. Okay, don't tell your wife she's the devil. It says, but in this instant, through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit quickly reveals to these men who are aligned and who are on assignment. Listen, I'll tell you, you can be a businessman, you can be a student, part of God's assignment, and the Holy Spirit will show you things that you will have to confront. So yeah, they had to confront this distraction, this battle for territory. Come on. And he looks at them and he says, "You're a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. You will never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord. Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. How they stand, their boldness got Nebuchadnezzar to rewrite the laws that their God is the true God, the Hebrew God. Daniel, Joseph. This will not happen unless you are sent by God and you are aligned with His assignment. God wants to give you authority, Christian, in whatever sector, in whatever field God has called you. I'll say it again, whether you're on the sports field, whether you're on the farm, whether you're in the boardroom, the classroom, as a civil servant, as a young student, wherever you find yourself, God wants you to be aligned with an assignment. We've seen it how many times? We have young people on fire, they want to pray for a school, and then every, it's like all hell breaks loose, and you see how some devils manifest, and some people always want to stop us from going to preach the gospel with integrity, with wisdom, not just coming in causing chaos, that I understand, but coming righteously to pray for people, for some members that are even in our church, to share the gospel. And you see sometimes how the wrong people want to influence the headmaster, how they throw their little weight around to stop the will of God. And you see that youngster, that young on fire Christian, stands up and begins to pray. And you see how God backs that young student who wants to make a stand for Jesus. And how they get favor and favor, and God opens up doors and that nobody can stop. You'll see revival in the schools if you have that attitude. And we see this governor, this high-ranking official, hears the Lord, sees what happens, and it's very quick to realize who has the authority and who has the power here. Amen. Are you seeing this morning? Alignment for God's assignment. Amen. Listen, if God has backed you, if God has anointed you, if He's empowered you, if He's given you authority, you're aligned, you have an assignment, you're going to see great things happen. There will be results. There will be fruit. There will be fish that are caught. People will get saved. God's hand will be upon your business. There will be breakthrough upon breakthrough. Hallelujah. The problem is if we misaligned, if we're not in alignment, we're not going to have God's assignment for our lives. What if Saul and Barnabas didn't come back? What if they got distracted? What if they backslid? The assignment would have been derailed. I want to share another great example of Elijah. 1 Kings verse 19, we all know what happened. Elijah comes and he's the prophet, and he calls down fire and he slays the false prophets. And then he gets a little word of intimidation or big word, and he runs, and he's no longer aligned with God's assignment. He's just done a great job. God had another job for him, but now he was maybe distracted. Fear gets a hold of him. Jezebel says, if I will not have your head on a plate by the end of this day, so be it, it shall happen. And a word of intimidation comes, and he runs for his life, and he's no longer assigned, he's no longer aligned. And he's in a cave, and God sends an angel to feed him, to minister to him, to help him. And then God helps him on a journey to be realigned. I want you to see this morning, how God brings him back on track. Now God uses him to be aligned. 1 Kings verse 19 verse 3, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He left his assignment. Let me go down to verse 11. God speaks to him now. He says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. Trying to get people back on their alignment for their assignment. After the wind, there was an earthquake, a shaking, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak honorably, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a soft voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So much that we can get out of the scripture about alignment, realigning our lives. Elijah was already sensitive to the voice of God. That's why when the first wind came, looking in this chaos, in the storm, looking in the spectacular, but he knew in his heart, I don't hear God here. Then there was the earthquake, the noise, the shaking. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, because he's listening. He knows God's voice. The fire comes, the spectacular burns up everything, but he still doesn't hear the voice. Then the moment he hears the soft voice, maybe he called him Elijah, Elijah. He recognizes and he puts his face in his cloak and he comes humbly. He gestures of reverence and humility. Sometimes God's not only in the big, okay? You don't just need a big testimony. Sometimes it's okay to have a small testimony. So God's whisper draws us closer. Doesn't give us fear. When God speaks to us, what happened with Elijah is he drew closer to God. He drew closer. When it's God, you will draw closer to him. He steps away from the cave softly after hearing the voice. And he comes out into the openness. God calls us closer, closer to him. He has the alignment. God positions us to hear further instruction. God speaks to us where we are. And then he calls us forward to move on. Come closer. God initiates conversations, okay? I want you to know that this morning. Many of us are waiting. God does also initiate conversations with us, especially when we are off our assignment, when we are no longer aligned with God's plan. God will initiate a conversation like he did with Elijah. He comes to us. God will run after you. You'll leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep this morning. I want you to know that God matters to you. It doesn't matter how far you are from God. Doesn't matter how backslidden you are. Doesn't matter what a big sinner you think you are. I want you to know God loves you. He will come after you. His mercy is new every morning. He will leave the 99 saved. He'll come after the one sheep who's lost this morning. That is his nature. He will find you not to destroy you, but to rescue you. He initiates the conversation. And especially when it's about our assignment. It was a serious conversation that he had to have with Elijah. He uses voice rather than vision. His words over his demonstrations. That's how God brings us closer. Amen. God draws us closer to have us to have an encounter that's relational and instructional. He's not just a God of instructions. He's a God of relation. Amen. He gets him out of this loud, spectacular movies, scrolling Facebook, the Marvel Universe. The Lord was not in the earthquake. He's in the quiet. And in the silence, once everything is quiet, he speaks to him. And Elijah realizes. And he humbles himself. So many are empty because they're looking at the spectacular. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Here was what the Lord was trying to tell Elijah in a soft voice. Not just any voice, but the Father's voice. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And it wasn't just where he was physically. Maybe it's just, where are you? Vasye, hello, where are you? What are you doing? Why have you gone off the road? Why have you left your assignment? Why did you submit to fear? Why did you believe the lie above the truth? And what he does is he reestablishes his assignment immediately. He starts to speak to him. Just like the prodigal son came to his senses. Amen. The question is to bring him back to alignment, to get him to his confession and his restoration. Amen. What are you doing here, Elijah? Have I not got an assignment for you? Doesn't God have a massive plan for your life? You can be so busy with success and your career and battles. You can be so busy with the ministry and running home sales, and we should do that. Say, hey, what are you doing here? I've got so much more for you. My plan is so much bigger. Look at that example of Saul and Barnabas. Look how the Lord used them mightily to allow God's power to push back Satan and darkness and to see people come to the knowledge of Christ. God did it gently. He needed to state Elijah's derailment from his assignment. Get him to confess his mission drift. Many times we get sent on a mission, but then we end up drifting. We drift a bit. Have you had it when you're at the beach and they've got the two flags and you're swimming on the sea and the poor guy, shame, give the guy a break. He's blowing his whistle because every 3 minutes the tide moves everybody out. And you have to constantly look because the tide drifts you. It brings you like this. Life happens. We get derailed from our mission. It's called mission drift. And we're no longer aligned with God's plan. We're out of his protection. We're out of his covering. And God had to get Elijah to understand he needed to see his derailment and his mission drift before he could give him his new orders. And we think he does it gently. Hallelujah. Sometimes he interrogates us. Interrogation is not a bad thing. He reorientates Elijah. He recalibrates. Puts our scope back in focus. Gets the prophet from his isolation back to his assignment. Listen to me, Christian. God wants you to come back to your assignment. Why you're alive today. Why there will be anointing. Why there'll be breakthrough. Why there'll be favor. Why God's signs will follow you. Gets him back to purpose. Reminds him that of his divine assignment and his purpose. That transcends his personal discouragement. There's a time where you have to feel sorry for yourself. Oh, you know, I'm just so tired. Nobody loves me. Elijah had a pity party. He said, Lord, I'm the last man standing for you. I didn't read it, but God corrects me. He says, just relax. There's 7,000 other prophets that haven't bowed their knee. You're not the only one. Okay. You may be the great Elijah, but there are other people that are greater. Okay. You're good, but you're not that great. Let me just help us all this morning. If you have a wife like mine, she keeps me humble. You think you're great? You're not that great. We are all just servants of the Most High God. It's a dangerous place when you think you're great and you can't listen to God. You can't be corrected, but you can't have a pastor to help you with your journey. No, I'm the great I am. I don't need a pastor. I don't need a Moses. I don't need God in my life. I'm okay. I'm just okay. That's not what God has called us to be. God does it gently, and He helps us to overcome our personal discouragement. We see Elijah's turning point. Yeah, his alignment back to his assignment. He turns back with reverence and readiness. His alignment was hearing, not seeing God's voice. A shift from the external back to the internal. Be careful of constantly being derailed and distracted with your eyes and the spectacular, that you miss the still small voice. He hears God's whisper. He responds with humility. He steps forward into obedience to position himself closer to God, better to drawing nearer and nearer to hear better, to receive a fresh assignment, fresh direction, fresh oil, new wine. Amen. He says, what are you doing here? The probing question gets him to reconsider and reflect his choices. Sets him on a path of recommissioning. Gets him back on track with a new assignment, a fresh vision. In every era, in every generation, in every nation, God speaks. He calls us out of the hiding to align for an assignment. He restores us if we listen. He will speak slowly and softly. He comes down to our level. Thank God He doesn't leave us there. He gets us up again. Come on, this morning, I want you to know God doesn't leave us in our miry clay. He gets us out of our hole of depression, out of our hole of setback and weariness. Come on, Gideon, you're a mighty man. Come on, ladies, you're a mighty woman of God. You're not called to just be in the wine press, being the least and the worst, having a pity party for yourself. The best thing we can do is to just get back to God, get realigned, slide back to the purpose and the will that He has for you. Pick up where you left off. Come back to church. Come back to Christians. Do the works that God saved you to do. Come back to your home cell and get busy with the assignment God has for you. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Come on, we're going to realign our hearts this morning. Recalibrate. What are we doing there? What have I been doing there? Sometimes God will speak to us. I remember before I was radically saved, I knew God had a plan with my life. Drinking with my friends, wasted, lost, gone. You know, you've had a lot to drink. Then I became a preacher. I would preach to my friends in my drunken state. Lost, clueless. But I knew there was an assignment. But I wasn't aligned. Till the day I came to a church like this, gave my heart to Jesus. This morning you're here today because God has an alignment for you. He has an assignment. He has a purpose. You're not born by accident. He's the author of your life. He's the creator of the universe. I want you to know, maybe a friend or family member invited you, but you're not here by accident this morning. It's God behind the invite. I remember seeing how God brought people across my path. Christians who were praying for me, invited me. And one day I came to my senses. It's like the prodigal son. The good memory of the good father made us realize. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians praying. You're sitting here today, you say, Pastor Brian, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'm not aligned with God's plan. I know He has an assignment, but I just don't know how to align. Well, Jesus said it very clear. We have to repent. Just like God had to get Elijah to acknowledge again and to humble himself. And to receive God's forgiveness. This morning, God may be speaking softly in your heart. Maybe it's not a loud voice. Maybe it's not a clanging noise out there, but deep down in your heart, He's calling you to say, what are you doing with your life? Why are you here? What are you doing here? I've got a greater plan for you. Your life isn't an accident. When people begin to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, they respond. And they quick to act and to come forward like Elijah did. Humbly, with reverence, yes, Lord, here I am. God speaks with a loving, merciful voice. And then He gives us an assignment. You're sitting here today, you've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never had the privilege, the opportunity to become born again. That was me. I came to a church like this. The pastor preached and he gave a call, an altar call, an opportunity for people to make right. I want to pray with you. A prayer I prayed many years ago. You're sitting here today, there's a stirring in your heart. Say, God praat met jou. God is speaking with you. Then allow me the privilege to pray with you. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. This is not to embarrass you, but you have to respond. There's no way around it. You have to act. You have to respond. If that is you, please, quietly, unashamedly, why don't you just slip up your hand right now. Just say, Pastor, bid vir my asseblief. Come on, just slip up your hand right now. People are praying right across this place. Thank you. Many hands are going up. Many are in the valley of decision. You know, God has a bigger plan with you. His voice has been speaking to you today. Won't you respond? Allow me to pray with you. Thank you. One last time. You haven't raised your hand. But you know God is knocking at the door of your heart. You know that there's a response that you have to do. Won't you slip up your hand? Say, Pastor, pray with me. Come on, reach up to heaven. Heaven is reaching down this morning. You haven't yet raised your hand. Let me pray for you. Maybe you once served God. Like the prodigal today, you know you've got to come home. Your life isn't right. You're not ready to die. You're not ready to face God on your deathbed yet. I'm not saying you're going to die today. But why would you wait till then? You can serve Him today. Serve Him now. Come on, slip up your hand. Allow me to pray with you. Many hands. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can all put down your hands. Family, won't you look at me? I need everybody to look at me. Thank you. Many of you brought your loved ones, your friends, your love and encouragement will help them to make the right decision. Don't be shy now. This is what Jesus said. I'll make you fishers of men. Every person here today, watching online, in this auditorium, in the mother's room, if you raised your hand, you know God is speaking to you. Allow me one more thing, please. One more thing, please. There's too many of you. I can't come to every one of you. I want you to please, as we sing a song, we're going to stand up. I want you to bring your personal belongings. Come with a friend who invited you and just come and meet me here. It's called the altar. It's a place of surrender. Is that okay? Can we all please stand? As the band leads us, come on, let's just cheer them on. All you wonderful people, just come. Just come. Come on, I'll wait for you here. Let me pray for you. Thank you. Just come. Just come. Let's cheer them on. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What can he mean to say? So what would the people will think about you? God is here in His house. Come. Come. Come on, it's a new day for some of you. Just come, just come. Turn to your neighbor, ask them, look, if you want to go, I'll go with you. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. We're not ashamed. We're not embarrassed about Jesus in this church. We love Jesus. We know what He's done. So you can have the liberty to turn to your neighbor, say, if you want to go, say that, are you fine? If not, come. Just come. If you can't stand for Him here, how will you stand out there? So come, just come. I sense in my heart there's still one or two more of you. Just come, just come. Run to the arms of Jesus. There is new life, there is freedom. Run to the one that can set you free. So run. Okay.
Can I need you to give these wonderful people a big, big hand. Let them feel your love and your encouragement. If you can whistle, now please whistle. Let them feel your encouragement. Listen, if it was your dad that came out this morning, I promise you, in your snot and trana, you would be whistling and clapping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're giving the devil a blue eye. Satan's kingdom is getting smaller and God's kingdom is getting brighter. These are the days the Lord's eyes are running throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who are bold for Jesus. God will back you, Christian. God will back you, but you have to make a stand. The days of sitting on the fence are long gone. It's long gone. The fence belongs to the devil in any way. Joshua said it like this, if God, choose today who you're going to serve. Who you're going to serve, yourself, your career, your money, your success, your fame, the world, the devil, or God, whoever it is, choose. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do people know where you stand? Do people know where you stand? Don't be that soccer player who's got his, I won't say which shirt on. The gold one or the black one. And when the black shirt team loses, he puts on the gold shirt. Or when the gold shirt team loses, he puts on another. Or he wears a Blue Bull shirt and then they lose, he puts on a Province shirt. Or he's got a Manchester City shirt and then they lose, he puts on a Manchester United shirt. Don't be that person. Don't be like Peter. When the cock crowed, a little girl exposed his lack of his backbone. God is calling men and women today to make a bold stand. Otherwise, the world's current will just take you. You're just going to go away. Jesus said it like this, if salt loses its saltiness, the world will come and trample upon you. I made up my mind, I'm not going to let the world trample on me. Thank you very much. And as your pastor, God, the world's not going to trample upon you. You be the salt, you be the light of the world. Amen. Let's stretch out our hands towards these wonderful people. Thank you for coming out. This is amazing. We're proud of every one of you. Thank you for this great stand. I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your heart. Say this loud enough that you can hear it. It's your prayer. It's your own words. Say this with me. Say loud enough. Say this with me after me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask that you come and live in my heart. I repent of all my sins, and I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God. You came from heaven to die on a cross for all my sins. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, our Heavenly Father resurrected you. I put my faith and my trust in you all the days of my life. From this day forward, in Jesus' name, I'm born again. Amen and amen.